Today is the 27th of December, 2016, and today is a big 66-3 for me. 63 years old. You know, I, like my wife, feel like I'm just got out of first grade and having to deal with the Mrs. Davis, my first grade teacher, who was a tyrant. But anyway, this morning I'd like to read a passage of scripture from Hebrews the 6th chapter, the 10th verse. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. This morning, this message is to ministers, those who have ministered faithfully for a number of years. You know, those of us who do that know better than anyone else our own depravity, our own wickedness, our own proneness to sin, our proneness to wander from God, our proneness to get in the flesh, our susceptibility to pride and envy and covetousness and all of those things. Yes. Just because we minister, just because we do little sermons and sermonettes and messages, does not mean that we are any different than any other Bible-believing Christian. But this is an encouragement. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. My coffee maker is doing its thing this morning. He is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I have often been discouraged in my journeys of trying to say something that would honor and exalt Jesus Christ, and then just to be ridiculed and lambasted by Satan, and to be hounded with temptation, and then to be attacked by those who say they love us in the most undermining and cruel ways. It is very, very telling to us who are in this area, because many times we get discouraged and we want to just throw in the towel. We know we're not worthy to proclaim the name of God. We know that we are, apart from his grace, wicked, depraved, vile sinners. And we know that God's grace is sufficient for us. And he says in verse 9, Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You know, if I had listened to other people down through the years, I would not have continued to open my mouth and proclaim the hope that I have in Christ, even in the midst of my sin and suffering and shame. Because others have tried to get me to take my messages off sermon audio and to question why I would open my mouth to praise Christ. You know, there's no minister suitable for the gospel if you go by perfection. None. I've met lots of ministers. I've met pious ministers. I've met those that were of the high, seeming to be of the highest moral character and so on. But they are not a match for Christ. You know, Thomas Kempis wrote The Imitation of Christ. Well, I'm glad that our proclamation of the gospel is not determined upon our works, but it is by the precious grace of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And remember, he said to Abraham, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Have we been patiently enduring? I know that I have not at many times patiently endured. Maybe it'd be better said I've impatiently endured. Verse 19, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You know, I'm glad that we have a high priest that we can go to, our Abba Father, so that when we find ourselves faltering and failing and find ourselves in the midst of great tribulation and persecution and temptation and often succumbing to sin, that we can cry out to our Abba Father. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, there's a lot of people that use this verse as a justification for a man losing his salvation. Verse 4, it's impossible for those who once enlightened have tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify themselves with the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Well, isn't that what Peter did? But you know what? No man could renew them again unto repentance, could it? No man could renew Peter to repentance. No man. Only God could renew him to repentance. Only Christ who prayed for him. Has that been your and my experience this morning? Christ has renewed us again to repentance. Have you fallen away? I know I have. Have you crucified himself, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame? I know I have. Well, why does he say, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation? Election, predestination, unconditional love of God. You know, God is the one who renews us to repentance. Not any man can renew anyone to repentance. But the only ones that are going to be renewed to repentance is those who are recipients of God's grace. You know, there are those out there that say, well, God's the one that gives us free will to choose, you know. Well, the thing of it is, are you still cleaving to the gospel? Even after we have succumbed to temptation and sin, do we find that we are of a repentant heart and we're still cleaving and believing the gospel? No one is perfect, not in the flesh. You know, not in the flesh. Well, he says, and other people try to promote perfection doctrine in this chapter. Was Paul perfect? Had he reached perfection? Had any of the disciples reached perfection, or the apostles reached perfection? Well, you know, I thank the Lord for giving us faith to believe in Him and not ourselves. You know, Christ said He would pray the Father to send to all who believed in Him, that we may be with Him where He is. He said all that the Father hath given Him will come to Him, and none that come to Him will He cast out. You know, this is something that I would like to say, is that God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't give us grace. He doesn't show us unmerited favor. And then the first time we mess up in the flesh, He says it's impossible to renew us with repentance. You know? You know, was the person taken in the incestuous relationship with his daughter, was he granted repentance? Was he reconciled to his Lord? Yes, he was. And so was David. You know, was he renewed to repentance? Had David left the doctrines, the principles of the doctrines of Christ? Was he enlightened, and had he tasted the heavenly gift, and had he been made partakers of the Holy Ghost? Had David tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come? Well, you know, David was given repentance, wasn't he? What did David say when the prophet said, "Thou art the man"? David said, "I have sinned against God, God alone." And he cried out that God would forgive his sins. He says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You know, my hope is built on nothing less in Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before His throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, we know as ministers of Christ our own proneness to sin, our own vileness, our own wickedness, our own flesh, our own turning aside from the truth of the gospel. But we also have experienced God continuing to work in our hearts to show us not only our own vile natures, but showing us the total perfection and perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the reason why He came into this vile, wicked world. He did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. All of His elect, all of His sheep. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And no man can pluck them out of my hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You know, it's amazing how the free willers will take one passage of Scripture and take it out of context and try to prove a whole doctrine of free will and choice on that Scripture, isn't it? But yet we have all of these other scriptures that He works all things after the counsel of His own will, and that He is He is completed the work. He is the author and finisher of our faith. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Well, it says that they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Are you in a battle between the flesh and the Spirit? Yes, you are, if you're honest. We all are. But we know that when we're in the flesh, we cannot please God. Okay? But He says that the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in your body, in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's many times when we have not been, we have found ourselves not being led by the Spirit of God. We have departed and gone the way of the flesh. You know. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and pain together until now. You know? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know? That's a great comfort to me to know that the Spirit is making intercession for me. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, for all those ministers and anyone who listens to this, if you've been a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and if Satan has hounding you, and others are hounding you, and you're even hounding yourself, my exhortation to you and myself is to be encouraged in the completed work of Christ, and that he will finish that which he started in us, and that regardless of what might be going on in our lives right now, that God is faithful. He's proven that down through the years, has he not? He's intervened for us time and time and time again, showing us literally thousands, if not millions, of aspects of his grace and his mercy. May we cleave to his mercy and grace this morning and find ourselves repenting of our flesh and walking in the Spirit. God be with us.